Hello and welcome to the Gua Sha Show, helping you get the best results out of Gua Sha and Eastern medicine for the face and the body. I'm your host, Clive Whittam, and every week we explore the world of Gua Sha to help you use and understand this great technique with research and stories and guests and useful tips. So let's get straight into this episode and let's look at 9 safety tips for Gua Sha. Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 6 of The Gua Sha Show. And today we're looking at how you can use Gua Sha safely on the face and the body. And we'll go through 9 tips which will help you along the way in achieving great results and being safe while doing Gua Sha or facial Gua Sha. So let's start with the first safety tip, and that's all about the tools. This is one of the first places we need to look at for safety, as it's in direct contact with the skin. Tools gradually degrade over time, so an important issue with safety is the integrity of the tool, and some materials degrade faster than others. So it's really important to check over the tool before you use it. Buffalo horn tools, which are quite common in China, and it's very common material for Gua Sha tools. Now, when it's in contact with moisture for any length of time, the material tends to bend because it's a natural material, and it also cracks with time. And so it degrades much quicker than a lot of the more artificial materials or those with a mineral base. Now, another example of the mineral types is jade, which again is a very common material which is used in Gua Sha tools. But jade is like some other stones in that it depends on the quality. Now, for example, you'd think that all jade are alike, but they're not actually. Some jade is classified as a natural, untreated jadeite jade, which has had beeswax to fill in the gaps and the cracks as it was made. Now, this will age very differently from a jade which has been acid bleached. And instead of the beeswax, it's impregnated with polymer. And there's also another type of jade which is just dyed. So each of these will have a different aging process, which will affect the quality of the tool. But the problem sometimes with tools is not age, but they can also be scratched, dropped, and chipped, which, of course, I do so often with a lot of my tools. And quite often, you don't actually notice it. So it's really important to use your thumb and slide it over the edges of your tool to make sure there's nothing sharp that can hurt the skin before you use it. And this is also one of the important things when you choose a tool. The integrity of the tool is really important, but also the fact that it has edges which are not going to damage the skin. And if you look back at Season 1 of The Gua Sha Show, you'll find a whole episode which is devoted to choosing tools. So if you haven't listened to that, go and find that one and have a listen. So let's come on to the second tip on safety. And that's all about the other part of using a tool, and that's using lubrication. So there are all kinds of things that you can use for lubrication. And like anything that you put onto your skin, for some people, there might be problems. Now, skin allergies affect many people, and as many as 12.6% of children report skin allergies in any 12-month period in the United States. And they might have symptoms like rash, itching, redness, swelling, raised bumps, or cracks of flaky skin. This is often after contact with something which triggers this reaction. So in the case of Gua Sha, this could be caused by the lubrication oil you're using. So oils like cinnamon bark, jasmine, and lemongrass are known to cause reactions. And some people have problems with carrier oils like coconut oil or jojoba oil and grapeseed oil. So it's really important that whatever lubrication you use, that it's safe for the person that it's put on, which means finding out, first of all, if they have any allergies, and if you're not sure, to test a small area of skin which can't be seen easily before you start using it on a larger area of the body. Now, the composition of oil can change over time depending on how old it is and how you store it. And the obvious place is you've got to store it in a cool, dark place. If the seal of the oil is impaired, it could oxidize, which may increase the likelihood of causing a reaction in someone. So any oil which has changed how it looks, maybe its colour or its texture, or also how it smells, you need to replace it. And also, if you use gloves when applying gua sha, now I do every single time, by the way, you need to watch out for latex. About 4.3% of the general population in the United States is thought to have a latex allergy. And believe it or not, between 8 to 10% of all healthcare workers develop an allergy to latex at some point in their career. So with gloves, choose another material which isn't latex. So let's come on now to the third safety tip, which is all about cleaning tools. Now, how you clean tools safely has changed a great deal. But one thing that's important to grasp is that you have to clean your tools. Now, really, it doesn't matter that you only use it on yourself or not. The potential of residues of skin and blood cells mixed in with oil, which remains on the tool, is very high. And then you might place your tool somewhere and you're going to locally contaminate whichever area you're going to put the tool on if you don't clean it. So there's little danger of cross-contamination of tools. However, I always tell people to think of the tool as their toothbrush. So would you share your toothbrush? No, I don't think it's very common that people would share their toothbrush. And also, would you leave your toothbrush lying around the house? Of course not. You're going to put it in a safe place until you need it again. So it's a simple safety precaution. So it's basically the same idea of a gua sha tool. And for most people, cleaning the tool is a relatively simple thing to do. If you've done a light treatment over your face, then it's just a case of washing it with detergent and water. For more targeted cleaning of the tool, especially if you've treated away from the face, so if you've treated the body, and especially if char has appeared onto the skin, it's best to use a 70% alcohol-based wipe. And these became much easier to find over the past few years with the pandemic. For normal use, you don't really need to go any further than that, although the next stage of disinfection is to use a household bleach soak, which consists of one part of bleach and nine parts of water. And I talk about this in one of my YouTube videos, and you can find that about cleaning the tool. And this is the level of disinfection which would be acceptable if you're treating different people with the same tool. Now let's come on to the fourth safety tip, and that's all about you and your position when you're actually doing gua sha. So the next time you hold your tool, and if you're treating another person, be very aware of the position you are when you're scraping. I get to see a lot of people do gua sha, and I get to see how they stand, where they put their arms, how they move their arms, where they put their weight on their feet. And it's pretty obvious, just within seconds, to know whether that way that they're doing gua sha is going to eventually hurt them in some way. Because if your position is wrong, then there's going to be too much load on one part of your body. So perhaps you're going to put too much load onto your wrist as you're scraping, or perhaps onto your elbow, or perhaps your body is slightly twisted. You're bent down, so your back is at an angle which is not comfortable for a long period of time. These are the things you need to watch for when you're actually scraping. There's another of my YouTube videos, which I made quite a long time ago, which is talking about how you use your arm when you scrape. And this is something that I teach people a lot to do. And when I explain exactly how you might do it, there's like a penny drops in people's heads and they realize, okay, it's that simple. And it is really, really simple, but you need someone to show you exactly how you have to use your arm from the shoulder and not from the wrist or from the elbow. And there's also certain principles about how you scrape, which you can use in whatever area you're scraping on, and that if you follow those, then you're generally not going to hurt yourself. So the safety issue here is you, to prevent you from getting aches and pains. And there's quite a lot of people that train in Gua Sha coming from the massage world, and often after many years of treating people. And if you do those repetitive movements over long periods of time, then you do get aches and pains. And so a lot of massage professionals come over to use Gua Sha purely for that reason, so they don't have to use those same repetitive movements. So it wouldn't be a good thing to continue using the same techniques you might use in massage on Gua Sha, because then you're going to get the same results. So the idea with Gua Sha is that it's to take off the load of your joints rather than put more on. So if you want to see how to scrape with your arm, go and have a look at the YouTube video. And this is something that I train people a lot, either in my live courses or in my online courses. So let's come on to number 5, and that's all about your technique. I'm sure you've seen those images online of bright red backs after someone's had Gua Sha. They look pretty horrific. And these are the images of Gua Sha that most people see. And quite understandably, after seeing these, you probably don't want to have Gua Sha on you. Now, one of the things you see time and again online in China and Taiwan is advice from medical experts telling people that the harder you perform Gua Sha, it doesn't necessarily mean the better the results. So they're often referring to a belief that in order to do Gua Sha properly, you have to scrape deeply and rather painfully. Now, there is a place for strong, hard treatments of this kind, especially when you're fighting disease. But outside of this, most of the time, it would be pretty inappropriate and sometimes unsafe, as you can hurt someone. You have to really factor in the landscape of the body as well. Now, the big difference between what I do with Gua Sha and what other people do is the application of the ancient Chinese ideas of the natural world applied to the body and the face. So landscape is something that's a major part of how I see the body. Very much as you might stand at a high place and survey the land around, or look out at the earth from a plain window. I'm quite literally thinking about the same things when I'm thinking about your body. But you don't have to think about the same natural landscape. Think about bones and muscles and tissue. If you scrape over bones, it can hurt. So you have to factor that in with your scraping. You need a technique which is aware of the area around where you treat. This both makes your results better and makes it a whole lot safer for the receiver of your treatments. And let's come on to tip number 6, and this is all about Sha. Now, you can easily recognize Gua Sha from the marks left on the skin on some parts of the body, and this is called Sha. And whether or not it looks okay to you, it's usually signifying that something positive is happening beneath the skin in the area affected. But there are some areas where you don't want the red marks of Sha to appear on the surface of your skin. Now, the face is an obvious example. This is why facial techniques are different from body techniques. And to anyone who believes facial Gua Sha isn't Gua Sha, perhaps didn't really understand Gua Sha in the first place. There are many techniques involved in Gua Sha, but with all of them, exactly the same principle is involved. Now, this is so important to understand, but unfortunately, so few people actually do. It's possible to bring sha on your face, especially in some areas such as between your eyebrows. And I know that because I've had sha in between my eyebrows. It's an area that's very susceptible, especially for me. So you have to be aware of this and treat accordingly. And then there are other areas such as the neck and shoulders where it's very common for sha to appear, and these may be visible to other people when not covered by clothing. If you were to treat someone in this area and they had a significant event to attend a few days later, such as a wedding, or they might have a beach holiday, they might not be too happy with you. So in order to play safe, informed consent is the key, which basically means you tell them what you're doing and the risks involved before you do it, and then they agree to it. And then you're safe. And now let's come on to number 7, where we're avoiding certain areas. Now, for safety, there are some areas of your body where you don't use gua sha unless you really know what you're doing. One of these is the front of your neck. This is the area of your Adam's apple, the laryngeal prominence, which is the protrusion of the front of the thyroid cartilage, which surrounds the larynx. It's rare to come across reports of injuries caused by gua sha, but this is one area that's appeared several times. There was one case of a 23-year-old man in Taiwan who had gua sha at the front of his neck, and he ended up seriously ill in hospital with something called epiglottitis, which is inflammation of the epiglottis, which is pushed against the posterior pharyngeal wall. And any swelling in the area of your neck is pretty serious because you'll have problems with breathing. And there are other areas which have the potential to cause damage. Or one of these is the area around your eyes, especially the eyeballs, which it's important to avoid. And you have to be aware that any area which doesn't have a bony structure to provide support, such as the abdomen area, is unlike areas which do have such support, such as the back area. And you need to change your technique to be safe. Okay, let's come on to number 8, the misinterpretation of sha. Now, if you have gua sha on your back and there are lots of areas of sha making it look like you've had a nasty accident, guess what your partner or your parent or friend is going to say when they see it? Or guess what the teacher or students are going to say when they see marks on a child changing for their gym class? I think it's pretty obvious how they might react. And if they don't understand what's happened, then things can get quite serious. So how do you make it safe for you? Well, you tell everyone the situation. Education is one of the important things about gua sha. Most people who do gua sha don't know what's going on under the skin, so you don't need to explain this in great detail. You just need the basics of what you did and the result, and that's sufficient to not have any problems. So to make it safe for yourself, communication is very important, whether it's communication in writing or communication speaking. And I've done this many, many times. And when I used to treat my children, who are now adults, but when they were smaller, and we lived in several countries, so it was in Britain and Japan and Spain, I would ensure that the teachers knew whenever I did gua sha in a written form. So there was never an issue with what had been done. And the last of the safety tips, and that's all about knowing the limits of gua sha. It's just as important to know what gua sha can do as what it can't do. I come across all kinds of claims of facial gua sha which make promises about the results of treatment that I don't think in reality that can be kept. It's the same with the body. It's easy to think that gua sha is for every illness and disorder. But of course, like every treatment modality, while you can do so much, there has to be limits. And if you don't know where the limit is, or if you're not even aware that there is a limit, then this is where the safety line is. So in terms of facial gua sha, for changing the face, you have to know how far gua sha is going to go in order for the person who's having the gua sha to be correctly informed. If you're telling a facial gua sha client that your results will be something more akin to facial surgery, that probably wouldn't be an authentic explanation of what is going to happen with gua sha. And the same with body gua sha. If you're treating an illness, if you say you're going to completely cure someone of whatever they've got, again, that is not an authentic and realistic treatment result for what you're doing. And as I sometimes mention on my podcasts, and I always mention on my courses, if you really, really know what you're doing with facial gua sha or body gua sha, then you'll be amazed in that you can do far more than you ever dreamed of. But it's lifting that veil so that you can actually see what you're really doing rather than what you think you're doing. And I think that perhaps an extension of this about knowing the limits of gua sha is also to know your limits as a practitioner of gua sha. I mean, for example, if you're not trained to diagnose other people, then just don't do it. Stay within the boundaries which make you and the person you're treating safe. And also, if you're not comfortable with treating a certain area, then again, don't do it. Do it when you feel comfortable and confident. And this is key to me for anyone who does gua sha. You have to feel super confident with what you're doing. And if you're not confident, you need to come back and look at how you can improve what you know and how you're doing it so you can be confident. Now, there's no reason why anyone can't be super confident and get great results with gua sha if you really know what you're doing. Okay, so that's it for episode 6 of the Gua Sha Show. I hope you've enjoyed these safety tips for how to stay safe when you do facial gua sha and body gua sha. So I've mentioned a few times about my YouTube channel and also about other podcasts, and you'll find links for these in the show notes of this episode. And also, if you need more details about some of the things I'm talking about techniques and being confident in doing facial gua sha or gua sha, then come and have a look at the Komorebi Institute. Again, the links are in the show notes. And come and see me. I'm doing live workshops. All the links will be either at Komorebi Institute or clivewhittam.com. And there you'll see the places and the dates where you can come and train directly with me face to face. And I'll show you how to be a confident, competent practitioner that uses principles that no one else does and understands the body in terms of its ecological and nature-based principles. And also, if you have any questions, then in the links as well, you'll see a way to find me. You can ask on Instagram, Facebook, email, or come and find me on my websites. So that's it for today, and I'll be speaking to you soon. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can check out the show notes at clivewhittam.com/guasha show. You'll also find loads of free videos and information. And if you need more help with guasha, definitely check out my online courses at the Komorebi Institute. I'll include the link in the show notes too. Talk to you soon.